The following is from Little Rock Church in Little Rock, Arkansas. For more information, visit littlerockchurch.org.
I'm excited to be, for you visitors, my name is Russ White. I serve as one of the shepherds here at Little Rock Church, and from time to time, I'm part of the preaching team as well. Today, we're going to be starting a new series looking at our mission, our vision, our purpose. This will be over the next, including this week, 5 weeks that we'll do this. You'll have an opportunity to hear from every one of the members of our preaching team during this course of these next 5 weeks, and I hope that you'll be here and be excited about talking about our mission, our vision, and the purposes here at Little Rock Church. Let me just give you a little warning here. There's a good chance I may start to sweat because I'm just hot-natured. Nothing to worry about. But if I start to sweat, grab my chest, and faint, I'm having another heart attack, so let's do something about that, okay? I got asked that after the last time, and I go, no, I just get hot. It just happens. So I'm glad to be speaking during the winter time. It's a little bit cooler in here. If you have your Bibles, and we'll go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 12. And I'll take the same position you are. If you look up here to the left, this is point number one, love the Lord your God. This is point number two this morning, love your neighbor as yourself. So we're going to talk about loving God and loving people. If you'll stand, I want to read in Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, and with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you will bless our time this morning together as we take a look at these verses here. Help us to gain a better understanding of what these two commandments mean to us today. Help us to see what you would have us do as we think about these two commandments. It's through your Son's name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. If you want to go ahead and get ahead, go ahead and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. So we have a teacher of the law in one version. We have a scribe coming to Jesus at this particular time, and he's questioning him. He's asking him, what is commandment is most important? What is the most important commandment? And we see Jesus sum it up in two things: love God, love people. Love God, love people. And I want to give us some background to that if we can. So let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 4. If you're familiar with this passage at all, this is something that Jewish people would call the Shema, okay, which in Hebrew means hear. This would be a prayer that the Orthodox or the more strict Jewish people would say twice a day. It would be a verse or verses that their children would learn the very first time, or this would be the first time they would actually learn Scripture, would be to learn the Shema. So verse 4, it says this, Deuteronomy chapter 6. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And I want to stop there for just a second, and I want to just give us a little background about why is this important? Why is Moses saying, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one"? Think about this. We have a group of people who have been in captivity for 400 years. This was prophesied captivity. You go back and look at Genesis chapter 15, 13. The prophecy was set in place that they would be captives for 400 years. And we saw this happen with the Israelites in captivity. And they did not hear a message from God at all during this particular time. Then Moses comes along, and Moses leads them out. He says, "I have a message from God. He wants to bring you out of captivity. He wants to take you to the promised land." And he and Aaron led them out by God's power, and they're on this journey right now. And we come to the book of Deuteronomy, and the book of Deuteronomy is a series of three or four different sermons, if you will, or messages that Moses has to the people as he see that his life is coming to an end. And I'm always, whenever I think about Deuteronomy, I always think about Winston. And it's not because he's as old as Deuteronomy. He's not even here, is he? Oh, there he is in the back. It's like, shoot, he's not even here to hear it. No, but I think about him when he was talking about his kids going to college, and he would grab a hold of them and go, have I told you everything you need to know before you go to college? Because that time is coming, and they're gone. And this is Moses doing the same thing to the people of Israel right now. He knows he's not going into the promised land because of a choice that he made. Okay, he's going to have to deal with the consequences of that. But he's got this last little bit of time, and he's going to try to impart wisdom to them. He's going to try to remind them. These are the important things. So he says in verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. All of the nations around them would be considered to be polytheistic, meaning they worshiped many gods. Remember our sermon series we had on the plagues where we covered every one of them? I had the pleasure of talking about frogs. And during that lesson, I mentioned to you guys that at one time they counted anywhere from 2,000 to 3,000 different gods that the people of Egypt worshipped. Okay, this was not uncommon. Many of the nations around them worshipped many different gods. Israel was different. Israel worshipped one God. Israel worshipped the God. And if you're not clear on who that is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That is the creator of the universe. So he says in verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. So here's the command given to the Israelites. This is the first one that Jesus says is most important. So turn now to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. Verse 18. Leviticus 19:18 says this, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. The second most important commandment that Jesus says, love people. Love God and love people. So if you think back to the Ten Commandments, back in Exodus chapter 20, I want to summarize those for us this morning and maybe get a better idea of why Jesus chose these two particular things to be most important. The Ten Commandments state this. Number one, you shall have no other gods before me. Two, you shall not make idols. Three, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Five, honor your father and your mother. Six, do not murder. Seven, you shall not commit adultery. Eight, you shall not steal. Nine, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. 10, you shall not covet. If we group those together, the first four are about God. They're all about God and our relationship with him. The next six are about our relationship with people. What are our 2 points this morning? Love God, love people. Love God and love people. So he tells us we are to love God with our everything. He says you are to love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. This is our entirety. We are to love God in totality, if you will, with a completeness. So how do we do that? How do we show our love to God? And if you think about the word love, isn't love one of the words in our English language that's just overused? I mean, just think about it. I love pizza. I love this song. Oh, I love that movie. That is my favorite movie. Oh, I love this group. This is a great group. You know, we throw that word around. I love this sports team, Razorbacks, Cowboys, Auburn Tigers, whatever it may be. We love, we love, we love. That's not the same thing that we're talking about when we think about loving God and loving people. We're to love God with our everything. So how do we do that? Am I spending time with God? Are you spending time with God? Are you spending time in prayer with him? Are you spending time in the Word to get to know him, to understand him better? Are you taking advantages of opportunity to spend time with people to talk about God, whether it's in Bible class or it's in house church or you're here on Sunday morning and we're talking about God? Are you spending time with God? We love God by our actions and our words. We love God by our actions and our words. And I was challenged this week as I thought about this lesson to think about, am I honoring God by the way I talk about Him? Am I honoring God by the way I speak His name? You know, He says in the Ten Commandments, you shall not take the Lord's name in vain. And I don't believe that means just specifically thinking about using God's name as part of a cursing, a curse word or whatever. I think it goes beyond that. I think it goes beyond just the flippancy in which we might say God's name. I might step on some toes, and I'm wearing size 12, so that's okay. I got a big foot. I hate the phrase. And as Christians, we will kind of, we'll temper this a little bit. We may not say, oh my, but we'll write OMG. And we'll think, oh, that's okay. I didn't really say the word God as part of that. Well, I want to challenge you to not do that. We know what you're trying to say. We know what your meaning is of that is. Don't do that. Don't show disrespect to the creator of the universe. I don't like calling him the big guy. I don't like saying the big man upstairs. I think that belittles our Creator. I think that brings Him down to our level. And folks, He's not at our level. He's at a completely different level than we are. You know, there are Jewish people today, probably of the more strict Orthodox side of things, that will not, in Hebrew, write out the entire name of God. They won't do it. In English, it looks like this. I was going to say it sounds like, but you can't speak what I'm going to read to you or say to you. It's G, capital G, a dash, and then a lowercase d. They don't fill out the entire name of God. I found a website as I was doing some research, and at the bottom of the website it said this: please note, this page contains the name of God. If you print it out, please treat it with appropriate respect. Think about that. Now, I believe the Jewish people have missed the boat when it came to Jesus as the Savior. But the respect they show to the name of God, I admire that. And I just want to challenge us to make sure that we are doing right by the way in which we honor, the way we speak the name of God, and the way we speak His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, if I love God like I'm supposed to, I'm going to want to spend time with Him. So I thought about this beautiful girl named Sue Garner that I met into my sophomore year. I actually went to her club function with another date, saw her there, came back the next year, my junior year, and this is so like me. Between my sophomore year and junior year, I went home that summer and I told my mom, I can see myself not getting married. I don't know what that's all cracked up to be, you know. I just hadn't met the right person, you know. So I meet Sue again, or see her again the next, the beginning of my junior year, and I thought, there's something about this girl. And so, we had these calendars at Harding. These were our desk calendars at Harding. And it would have all the events planned out for the year. And I've written on every day, yeah, I'm going to cry. It's okay. I was challenged this morning by Rusty. He goes, yeah, you're going to cry all day long, aren't you? You know. So September 10th, 1981, our first date. I don't need this calendar to remind me of that because I know that day. But I'm writing down stuff like, we did laundry together. Ooh, that's really exciting, isn't it? You know? We did laundry yesterday. Thank you. We would study together. And then I found one on here. It was like, we were in the library. I didn't even know Harding had a library till my junior year. I mean, that would have been a game changer my freshman year if I'd known that, you know? But I documented all this time. I wanted to spend time with her. And I just think, do I do that for God? Do I try to find time to spend with Him? Am I jealous for time to spend with our Creator? Am I, if you will, prioritizing my time around spending time with Him? You know, it's through God's Word that we learn more about Him. We have fellowship with Him, and we stay focused on Him. I found this quote that says this: we can go to church, memorize Scripture, study the Bible, quote the Scripture, know a lot about theology, even be involved in ministry, and yet hold our hearts far away from any real relationship or commitment to God. When we do this, we are deceiving ourselves, and our religion, our worship of God, is vain, meaningless hypocrisy. And I was reminded of Mark 7, 6 through 7. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. When you speak the word, I love God, do you mean it? And is it evident? So love God, point number one. Point number two is what? Love people. Love your neighbor. Love people. As yourself. As yourself. So what does this look like? And I'll say, as I originally thought about this, I tended to define the neighbor as just people that I come in contact with. But I was challenged, and I'll mention this too if you're not aware of this. We have men and women that will from time to time be part of our preaching team that don't actually stand up and preach, but they'll give input. They'll add insight into the outlines that we submit online. And so we've had some women that have been part of that and some other men as well. And so I sent out my outline, and I was challenged to think about, in a different perspective, who our neighbor really is. And this is a quote from somebody on our team said that, basically consider that my neighbor is anyone that has been created by God. Now, if my math is correct, that's everyone. That's everybody, okay? And to quote says this, we should hurt when there is violence and murder on the other side of town and be willing to step out in love to be part of the solution. We should care and stand up for right when people promote name-calling and injustice, no matter what their color is, the ethnicity, or religion. Anybody is our neighbor. And I really thought about, look at Little Rock Church. How are we doing in terms of talking to our neighbors or reaching out to our neighbors? And I thought about our ministries, Home Away From Home. What a great thing in being neighborly to people that we don't know that are coming in from different states, different countries, to seek cancer treatment here in Little Rock. How about Food for the Hungry? That is something where we're reaching our neighbors. Hope's Embrace, the fostering and adoption, the call, supporting Jordan Yarbrough in Angola, our support of ACPN and planting churches to reach other people that we will never see, but we're spreading God's word by being neighborly. Teaching Bible class here at Little Rock Church, leading a house church, working with our youth. These are things that we do to people around us. That's how we love people. That's how we love people. Matthew 7:12 says, so in everything do to others as you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. There's that phrase again. This summing up, this breaking down of all the laws or the commandments into two things, love God and love people. And how are we able to do this? How are we able to love people? It's because of what we read in verse 11 in chapter 7 of Matthew. It's because how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? He loves us so much. He's going to empower us so much that we can't help but reach out to our neighbors and serve them. I'm going to ask you to turn back to Leviticus chapter 19. Go back to Leviticus chapter 19. And we're going to look at the preceding verses prior to what I read in verse 18. Leviticus 19. Starting in verse 9 and 10. I'm not going to read everything. I'm just going to point out highlights as we get to verse 18. Okay? In verse 9 and 10, he's telling the people, God, through Moses, saying, live generously towards the poor and the alien. In verse 11, he says, do not steal. In verse 11, he says, do not lie. In verse 11, he says, do not deceive one another. In verse 13, he says, do not defraud your neighbor or rob him. In verse 14, he says, do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind. In verse 15, he says, do not pervert justice. In verse 15, he says, do not be partial to the poor or show favor to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. In verse 16, do not go about spreading slander among the people. In verse 16, do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. Verse 17, do not hate your brother. Verse 18, do not seek revenge or hold a grudge, but extend forgiveness. And then he says, love your neighbor as yourself. This is how we do it, by not doing these things. Well, some of these things we want to do, living generously, but some of them we don't want to do, okay, as we go through that list. God ends this section by saying, love your neighbor as yourself. And to our children this morning, let me just say to you that those of you who are in here, what is this living like a neighbor or loving your neighbor look like to you? It's being a friend to someone in school who doesn't have a friend. That person that's sitting in the cafeteria alone and befriending them. That person that's out on the playground that's just hanging out by themselves. That's being a neighbor to them, by being a friend to them. We all come in contact with people as adults as well that are kind of on the outskirts that we need to love, and we need to show Christ's love to them. Romans 13, 8 through 10 says this, "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be are summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." Love is the fulfillment of the law. You know, without Christ, my good deeds are rubbish. Just like Paul said. Any of the things that he could count on, he counted as rubbish, except for knowing that he might gain Christ and being found in him, and not having a righteousness of his own, but having a righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, through faith in him, faith in God. The great commandments, as we look at them today, that Jesus summarizes here for us today in Mark, and also we see in Matthew, proves to me that I am not a good person. The cross of Christ is the only hope I have of ever being a good person. Now, can someone be a good moral person without Jesus Christ? Sure they can. But they're still not where they need to be. Those deeds are not being done under the umbrella and the love of Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. If I have any hope of being a good person, it's because of Jesus loved God enough to the point of death, and he loved his neighbors even to the point of death, that Jesus would submit himself to his Father's will. Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates his love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." 2 Corinthians 5:21, "God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God." My people here, Little Rock Church, the only way we can love God and love people is because of Jesus Christ. It's because of submitting ourselves to him. In Christ, united to him, we are forgiven of our constant failure in keeping these commandments and are credited with Jesus' perfect keeping of them. Now, this is not an excuse to try to give up holding to these commandments. I ask you this morning, what are you doing to love God with your everything? And what do you need to start doing to love God with your everything? And how about your neighbor? Are you loving your neighbor with everything that you have? And if you're not, what do you need to start doing today to love God and to love people? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for our time this morning. I pray now as we move into a time of communion, as we reflect on the cross and think about the impact that that has on our lives, that we will be just always in awe of the gift that you gave. Father, that as we take the bread and the cup, that we will always remember Christ's sacrifice, that he gave his life not only for his Father, but for his neighbor, for us. And I pray that we too would lay our lives down on behalf of you for those around us. It's through your Son's name I pray.